The prayer of faith that changes situations. The prayer of faith that changes situations. Friends, imagine a church that knows how to pray and knows how to get the answers to prayer answered. Imagine a people that know how to pray. Imagine a people that know how to seek God in difficult situations and to receive the answers to their prayers. Imagine a church that knows how to pray in faith and see the Lord come through. Imagine a church that knows how to call down supernatural power in every situation, like DJ mentioned this morning. Imagine a church that knows how to seek God in prayer. Imagine mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and opas and omas, whatever you want to call them, whole families rallying together and seeking God in difficult times or in happy times. People that know how to pray. You ask any believer this question, do you believe in prayer? They're going to say, yes. Do you believe that God can do great things when we pray? Yes. Why don't you pray? I don't know. Friends, my mission tonight is this. I purely want to do this. I want to equip you. I want to encourage you. I want to stir your faith to become a people of prayer that know how to pray. Just one area we're going to look at tonight, the prayer of faith that changes situations. Now, Ephesians 6:18 talks about varieties of prayer. You get the prayer of supplication. We get the prayer of petition. We get the prayer of intercession. There's a prayer of waiting on God. So some people that like detail, they like to wait on God. And if they don't know there's a variety of prayers, then they're thinking everybody must all wait on God all the time. There is a prayer of waiting on God. There is a prayer of intercession. There is a prayer of supplication. There is a prayer of petition. Different types of prayer. Just like there's different types of sports with different types of rules. I can't play cricket with rugby rules. Some of you would like to do that. And we can't play rugby with cricket rules. We just can't do that. There's different types of prayers with different types of rules. We're just going to look at the one type of prayer tonight, the prayer of faith. Nothing more and nothing less. So let's turn to the book of James. James 5, verse 9. I'm reading out the old NIV version. James 5, verse 9. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Let's jump down to verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another or each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous church is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective? Then when we have a prayer meeting, we're all there. Then when there's crisis, we're praying. Do we really believe that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective? You've got to assess your own heart. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. This is amazing. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Imagine your prayers coming into agreement with God affecting the rains. Friends, what type of authority does God want to entrust to believers? What type of authority does He want to entrust to you in the area of your prayer life? And there's no age restriction on this. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produce its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Friends, we're just going to look at three points on the prayer of faith. Nothing more, nothing less. 3 points. First point is going to be this. The praying with the gift of righteousness makes the prayer of faith effective. Point number one. Point number two, when you're suffering, pray the prayer of faith. When you're suffering, pray the prayer of faith. When you're suffering, pray the prayer of faith. Third point is going to be this. Listen to the Lord's will and pray through what the Holy Spirit says. So friends, here's this character, James. James is the author of the book. James is the half-brother of Jesus. That means his mother was Mary. James grew up with Jesus. Imagine how that home looked. Mary, God, sit over there. James, sit on the floor. How would that conversation look for Mary? Think it through. You got God sleeping in your home. You feed in God. That's what happened. James went to the same toilet where Jesus went. James played in the same garden with Jesus. James is the half-brother of Jesus. They even said of James that he had camel's knees. You know why? He lived like this, praying. What happens when you rub your hands on something the whole time? You get calluses. He lived on his knees praying and seeking God, and he was a man of action. You know, James was there when Jesus was being crucified. James was there when Jesus was being whipped, when he was being nailed to the cross, when that blood was coming out. James was there. Imagine James. Jesus, what have you got yourself into? Why did you have to say that? James was there when Jesus was raised to life on the third day. Imagine in his heart looking, you really are God. You really are God. James is the antagonist that became an apologist. James is the guy that became a passive follower to a passionate follower when he saw Jesus. His whole mind was changed around when he understood that Jesus is fully God, fully man. You know, and James was there in the book of Acts, in the beginning, Acts 1. He was in the prayer meeting. James was there when one of his mates, his friends, was stoned to death. They took rocks and they threw rocks at Stephen. That the rock hit him on his head. Blood came down. James was there. He saw suffering. James was there. And he knew Saul Paul, the guy that arranged his friend to be murdered. He became friends with Paul, James. James was leading the church and being a part of one of the leaders in the church, in the Jerusalem church, leading them through famine. Why am I mentioning all of this? Is when this man talks about the prayer of faith, he understood the prayer of faith. He understood the prayer of faith. He understood the prayer of faith. He believed that God was able to change situations or change him or give him the strength to go through it. Friends, the background context to those people he was writing to, there was a hostile government, Roman government, occupied territory. The government wasn't in favor of the Jews at that time because he was writing to Jewish believers. They weren't in favor of them. They were greedy. They were exploiting them on tax. It was a hostile environment to preach the gospel. Stephen was stoned. Friends, there was even a famine in the land. That's why James says, if there's no rain, pray. Context. They had a famine in the land. He's saying there's a famine. Pray, my friends. Pray. Not accept it. Pray. There was a famine in the land. Context. That's why he says, remember Elijah. Friends, some of the Christians were battling with worldliness. Hence why he says, don't show favoritism to the rich. Don't show favoritism to him who rocks up in a Volvo. Don't show favoritism to him who rocks up in a Merc. Don't show favoritism to him who walks up in this big, massive Ferrari. Don't show favoritism. Don't treat this one better than the one that doesn't have a car. There was worldliness in the church. He was addressing that issue as well. There was temptation to turn from their faith. Now, I don't know about you, but if they capture Dion and they start stoning him to death, I'm thinking, maybe I want to walk this way and just turn and walk away from my faith. Put yourself in that situation. Those believers had that temptation. It wasn't free for them to share the gospel. They were battling financially, famine in the land, hostile government, wilderness in the church. And he says this, the prayer of faith. James is giving medicine to somebody that has cancer for the cure, if there was. James is giving an HIV tablet cure for HIV/AIDS, if there was. When you've got a headache, you get prayer, or you just ask, you take a headache tablet nowadays. James is given the tablet to help us. Now, we don't have those conditions up against us, but they did. He was telling him, what you need is the prayer of faith. What you need is the prayer of faith. So, friends, point number one, praying with the gift of righteousness makes the prayer of faith effective. If we read Romans 3:20-28, I won't read it now, but it basically means this. When you give your life to Jesus, we become born again. We get saved. You receive Jesus. You receive the gift of eternal life. There's an imputed righteousness that God gives you when you get saved. A put inside righteousness. A given righteousness based on the finished work of the cross. All our sins get forgiven, past, present, future, but we need to confess our sins when the Holy Spirit convicts us. When God looks at you, he sees you as righteous, even though we don't act like that. When are you good enough on this side of earth? When are you good enough? Never. Never. God's always going to be working on us. We haven't arrived. But know this, you are righteous already. He sees you that way. All we do is this, we receive the Holy Spirit and we walk with the Holy Spirit, pursuing the Holy Spirit, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, reading the Word of God, and allowing God to transform us into the image of Christ while praying the prayer of righteousness. Now, it looks like this. I had a friend once and I invited him to a prayer meeting. I said, hey, my friend, I'm so excited. Let's go pray. I said, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, and let's go pray. He said, read the verse before. I said, what do you mean? The prayers of a righteous person are effective. I'm not righteous. I looked at him and said, you're not really that righteous. I agree. I didn't know this. And I walked and I said, oh, man, that guy's so right. You know why? Occasionally, he would pop a swear word. Not his heart. He didn't think, today I'm going to swear 6 times. He didn't plan that. Occasionally, he would do something wrong at work. He really thought he was not righteous. Therefore, he can't go to God and ask God to help him. Friends, when you're good enough, Jesus said you're good enough. That's why he died for you. If you're thinking you must make yourself more righteous, smack Jesus in the face on the cross. Say, hey, Jesus, here, that's not enough. That's what we're doing. Friends, if we get our believing right, our thinking becomes right, and our speech becomes right. Ask any parent this. If you, DJ mentioned this morning, if you tell your kid, you're a bad, bad boy, you give him a hug, you're bad. You're very bad. Next day, you are very, very bad. That kid's going to walk around going, I'm very, very bad. I'm very, very bad. And what's he going to do? Very, very bad things. When I was at school, they said, I'm very, very bad. And I said, I'll show you I'm very, very bad. I'm going to prove you right. I'm very, very bad. But if you tell your kid, you're a good boy, you're righteous. Righteous people don't do that. Different ballgame. You, by mistake, you slip a swear word while you're driving. Beep. Lord, I confess and agree with you that is wrong. I thank you, Lord, I'm righteous. Don't go and label yourself a sinner. Label yourself what God says you are. Why? If you keep on labeling yourself a sinner, you're going to battle to pray the prayer of a righteous person, and you're going to run away from God. But if you believe God loves you and He cares about you, and He's the one that can help you, you're going to run to God the whole time believing that the prayers of a righteous person are effective and powerful. Next point is this. When you're suffering, can you please give it to me? Those paintbrushes. When you're suffering, pray. Verse 13 says this. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. Let's jump straight back to verse 9. Don't grumble against each other, brothers. Don't grumble. What's the first thing you do when you suffer? Grumble. James says, listen here, my friends. Don't grumble. Remember the prophets. Some of those prophets were killed for their faith, declaring the word of the Lord. Remember Job. Job went through suffering. You see, God takes us sometimes, and He preserves us through suffering. While He says to us, keep on praying for the situation to be changed. Either pray for that situation to be changed or ask God for strength to go through. There was a situation me and Tiana a while ago, probably about a year ago, or 6 months ago, or 7 months, I can't remember exactly. I was praying about a situation, and I was fasting, I was praying, and God gave me a word. This is what's going to happen. I didn't like that. I said, hey, Tiana, man, I sense the Lord said this. He said, yeah, the Lord said that to me as well. Then we both prayed for strength, not just for us, but for everybody to go through it. Sometimes God will give you the strength to go through it. What? When you suffer, pray. When you're suffering, pray. Picture yourself as one that prays over everything. You know, when you paint a wall, you don't leave a piece, this piece painted and this piece painted and this section open. Pray over absolutely everything you're doing. Paint the wall of your life. Paint the canvas of your life. Cover everything in prayer. Why? You want to seek the wisdom of God in prayer. Remember the book of James? Opens in prayer. Closes in prayer. Ask God for wisdom in every situation. His wisdom in every situation. Don't grumble. Don't grumble. Grumble won't help you. Grumble will make you sick and everybody else around you. It's not going to help us. It's not going to help you. The opposite of grumbling is faithful prayers. So what do we do in response to suffering? Now you say, oh, John, I don't have that much suffering. Maybe you trust in God in the area of finances. I know a gentleman's been praying for about 2 years, trusting God in the area of finances for his business. It's difficult. When you suffer, keep on praying, seeking God. Maybe you're suffering in a relationship. Keep on praying, seeking God in that relationship. Maybe you've got children that's unsaved. Mom, Dad, can I ask you this question? Are you keeping on praying for them, or just, I hand them over to the Lord and I walk away? Sis on you if you're doing that. Sis on you. That's not good. I just hand you over to the Lord. Where is that in the Bible, my friends? Where is that? Keep on praying for them. What do you do in response to anger? Pray. What do you do when you're suffering in a relationship? Walk away and go and grumble about that person with four people or pray about it. Our response to suffering needs to be the prayer of faith. Sometimes God will change the situation or He will change you to go through it. Some of us run from suffering. Prime example, I don't like my boss. He's difficult and he's rude to me. So I'm going to hop companies. No. When you're suffering, pray. I don't like this growth group. Why? Because Jack said ABC to me. When you're suffering, pray. I want to overspend and I want to buy that type of car because this person's got that. When you're suffering, pray. When you're on the highway and you have to stick to 120. When you suffer, pray. When you're in your car and you must put that seatbelt on. When you're suffering, pray. Lord, would you just help me to obey the laws of this land? When you're doing your tax, when you're suffering, pray. Seek God in everything. Cover absolutely every single thing in prayer. Seek God for His wisdom in everything. When you send an email, just suggestions. When you send an email at work, say, God, can you release your wisdom through me? Before we send an SMS, God, can you release your wisdom through me? While we're dealing with a frustrating client, Lord, can you release your wisdom through me? While you're dealing with business affairs, Lord, can you please release your wisdom through me? God wants to release His wisdom to you. God's not stingy. God doesn't have 100 rand in His account and He's going to give DJ 50 cents and Yuri 50 cents and Marcel 50 cents of wisdom. God says, you ask me for wisdom, I'm going to empty it all to you because I want you to have my wisdom and to see things my way. That's the wisdom of God as well. To see things God's way and to walk into that. Friends, can I encourage you to literally paint every single thing in the area of prayer, seeking God's will for prayer. Next point, and we're done. Can you please give me that like a car? It's not mine. I would like it. And the other part. Point three, listen to the Lord's will and pray through what the Holy Spirit says. James 5:17. Listen to the Lord's will and pray through what the Holy Spirit says. Friends, just as an illustration, actually I wanted a train, but this will work. Picture this. This as faith. Faith is God talking to you, written or spoken. And picture this as emotions. Anger, tiredness, frustration, joy, happiness. Faith always needs to pull our emotions. This is a disaster if we do it like this. It's going nowhere. I don't feel like coming to church today. You're doing this. I don't feel like going to growth group. You're doing this. I don't feel like sharing my faith. You're doing this. I don't feel like praying today because my back is sore. You're doing this. I don't feel like praying because I prayed yesterday. You're doing this. I'm leaving this church because Jack didn't give me a hug. You're doing this. I don't like worship because that one's not on the stage. You're doing this. I don't like that preacher. You're doing this. I don't feel like loving my wife today. You're doing this. The Lord said I must divorce my wife. Whoa, you're doing this and you're throwing this thing away and you're mixing up everything. Very confused then. Friends, the moment you put this in front, you're learning to live by feelings. Ask any fitness man, do you really feel like going to gym every day? No. But he just does it or her does it. Friends, the prayer of faith is kind of similar to this. Whatever God says, you pray that into being. Whatever God says, you pray that into being. Whether you feel it or not. It's not about feelings. It's not about us feeling God. It's not about all the feelings. It's about walking by faith, speaking by faith, fighting the fight of faith, listening to God, praying the prayer of faith, doing what God says. Our feelings are deceptive. God talks to us and we just do it. Can I ask you this? Do you have faith promises over your own personal calling? What has God said over your calling? Do you have promises over this church? Do you have promises over your marriage? What has God said about your marriage? I don't have anything, John. It's time to ask God. Maybe you're saying, John, you know, I've got a grumbly, terrible marriage. I hate my wife and I hate my husband. I just hate everything. I hate Alice, man. I want to leave him. He does nothing but watch Netflix. Have you got a faith word from God? Have you got something from God? God, what do you say about my husband? Ah, he's an amazing man. I love him and I died for him and I want you to honor him. Lord, I'm not honoring that man. No. Oh. You're going nowhere. Then you start, okay, Lord, I'm going to agree with you. Lord, I thank you. He's an amazing man. I love him. I'm going to honor him. Now you start going somewhere. Lord, my child is rebellious. He's driving me up the wall. I want to knock sense into him. What do you say about him? He's a gift. He's a gift. Lord, that thing's a gift. Yes, he's a gift. And I want you to spend time with him and love him and speak life into him. Amen. When you feel like it or not. But Lord, I'm so busy and I'm so tired and no one's worth spending time with me. You're going nowhere. Agree with God. Agree with God. Your son's 33 years old, living in the pigs, sties, completely turned from God. And Lord, I just hand him over to you. No. What has God said? That son or daughter of yours will serve me. I want you to pray for them every day. But Lord, I've been praying for 20 years for him or her. You keep doing that. Just do what the Lord says. Just do what the Lord says. Just do. Your business and your company is going down. Literally minus. Lord, I'm going to close this business. What did the Lord say? The Lord says to you, you will have prophets. They will come in. Okay, Lord, you said this. What must I do, Lord? I want you to chat to this client. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Getting action plans on the word of faith. Friends, that's why James said, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom to do what God says. Friends, do you have a word over your personal finances? Your boss is not the one that increased your salary. Jesus is. Do you have a word? And are you holding on to that? Do you have a word over the city and the nation? Do you have a word? God wants to give us words over our situations to pray the prayer of faith. And when we do this, we get prophetically aligned into the will of God. We start to see what God has. We start to pray what God wants us to pray. Not what I want, but what God wants. We start to speak God's word. We start to walk in that direction, declaring the promises of God. Friends, I don't know about you, but if there's a famine in the land, and someone says to me, pray the prayer of faith, I'm going to battle a little bit. But James is telling these people, pray the prayer of faith. He says this, remember Elijah. There's a man just like us. Friends, Elijah wasn't great and then he prayed. He prayed and he became great. He prayed and he became great. Every single human being in the Old Testament and today and in our history that done something great for God, man and woman, human being, were men and women that knew how to pray. They seeked God consistently in the era of prayer. They didn't waver. They stayed on their knees seeking God, crying out, not wavering, saying, God, you can change the situation and I will work for you, God. And they allowed God to work through them. Friends, our God is able. Our God is powerful. Our God is mighty. Jesus is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He made the heavens and the earth and nothing's impossible for him. Can I ask you to rebel against the kingdom of darkness? Rebel against Satan. Rebel against demons. Hate the enemy. Submit to Jesus, but rebel against him. Rebel against him. When you see his works, my God is able. Rebel against him. Submit to Jesus and start to pray the prayer of faith. You have heard what the Bible says about the prayer of faith. Nothing's impossible for you when you believe God. Can I encourage you, mothers, fathers, seek God again. Seek him again, like never before. Seek him again. Pray for your work colleagues. James said, pray for each other. Then he says, if there's something happening in the land, pray into that. Can I encourage you? Start the prayer of faith, and only know this, it's one of the many prayers.